is the Day Zero update for November 11th, 2018. I am Filippo DeNoffa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I am Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Logie.
I'm Daniel Victoria.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And, turned out to be a pretty interesting week this week.
Yeah.
Some very, unexpected things happened. I mean, we were expecting the announcements from X18 because that was going to be this week.
But we were expecting there to be something of note.
What exactly? Well, yeah, we weren't prepared for. Although I guess in hindsight, it's not all that surprising. Yeah. So, we will get to what we're hinting at shortly. But first, I'd like to get into what we've been playing, because I see one game on here that a lot of people on our staff have been into lately.
And yep, that's, Quiet of course, Game. Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man. The game that even deaf people have no idea what's going on with. Because apparently even deaf people, they can actually still understand what's going on, but you can't in this game. So that's great. Yeah,
and I'm getting pretty wild echoing going on here.
Yeah. I don't know where that's coming from.
I was going to say, three words, pretentious as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, coming from Square Enix. Are we surprised? No, not really. But, the game I'm actually referring to is Tetris Effect. I started playing the demo when that came out, and I've been playing it ever since, and now the final retail version has come out. And, holy crap, this game is amazing. So,
is it even possible for Tetsuya Mizuguchi to have any doubters left at this point?
I sure as hell hope not, at this point, I have no doubts that this is absolutely the best version of Tetris ever released.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
it's on my list, man, but I don't know when I'm going to get it. I really kind of want it on Switch.
Yeah, not happening.
I know.
Unfortunately. I'm going to have to get a PlayStation
nice to want
VR because of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tetris Effect. Yeah, I did the weekend ritual last night. It was a lot of fun.
Man.
Yeah. You tried those out yet?
Oh yeah. Just everything about this game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. If there's any one complaint that I have is that the playfield is a solid object.
Yeah.
And so even if you make it opaque, it still reflects the background color, making some scenes a lot harder to deal with than they really should be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's like, it's, you got a nice sky background and your blocks are also blue. Yeah, that's a little bit difficult. But beyond that, I mean, that's one of those things that if they get enough feedback, they'll just add a mode that's like, just black. Just make the damn thing black and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, very, very few complaints that I have with this game, and it's definitely on my Game of the Year list.
How much is it?
$40.
Fuck.
That's a problem for me. Like, I know it's great, but the main thing is, you know, it's November, all the shit's coming out. At the same time, it might be on sale on Black Friday, we don't know, but $40 is a big ask, especially if Luminous didn't cost that much.
Yeah, although this is much more substantial than Luminous in every way. It's kind of hard to describe unless you really get into it, but yeah, it's especially the VR stuff.
Just the amount of psychological research that went into this game.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you tried the Relax playlists. Those are awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like you play at a nice, constant, slow speed, you know, and just chill. You got the ambient music in the background, the sound effects in the headphones, the vibration going on the controller. It's, wow. It's
awesome. I mean, I think it
Which
looks,
just happens
I think
to
it
be
looks
what
great.
I used Tetris for years.
Exactly.
I think it looks great, but man, I can't justify $40, y'all. Like, yeah, I'd rather drop ass and play Tetris.
Yeah, well, this gives you the same effect.
I mean, yeah, you save the money on the acid.
Yeah.
I know, but, you know, I know people. No, I don't. No, I don't know. I don't know. I agree with Dan Reb. Like, there's so much other stuff that I'm playing, and $40 at this time of year is just, man, that's a lot. I'm not saying it's not worth the price of admission, but it's too much for me.
Yeah, well, with how close we are to Black Friday, I'm kind of with Dan Reb here. Yeah. Like, you probably will want to just wait just to see if it does go on sale. But I kind of doubt that it will.
Yeah, and like it's worth mentioning that there is a physical version of the game, so yeah, we could GCU it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I noticed that too.
I would if I still had it.
Yeah,
mine ran out on the 5th.
Nope. Oh fuck! Yeah, mine's out in February.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been me. What about you, Pat? Obviously.
Obviously Tetris Effect as well. I'm actually firing it up here myself for a couple games. In addition to that, I'm finally getting back into Super Turbo after a little while away from it. I'm probably going to be getting in on Monday Night Fightcade this week and try to get back into the swing of things on that. Soul Calibur 6 is going to be part of my gaming practice for a very long time. That game continues to dominate most of my gaming time. NHL 19, same thing. And I've gone back to that one, especially in light of the fact that Dan Reb here recently reminded us that it is getting close to Game of the Year time, and it's time to get our lists in order, and NHL 19 is certainly going to have a very prominent place on mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then other than that, Luminous Remastered. Since I'm on this whole puzzle thing right now, I might as well go all in.
Yeah.
And I've been having a good time with that, too.
So,
Dan Reb told me I can't do my Game of the Year.
Well, it's because it's not of the year.
Fuck you. Yeah, it is.
Well, it's of the year.
I'm still playing it. The year of our Lord.
Yeah. But what about you, Brandon?
Well, much like half of the group here, I'm still playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I am now... I think I'm getting to, like, the midway point of the game, because holy crap is this game huge, but I've, I'm currently in Saint-Denis, which is basically Red Dead's equivalent to New Orleans, and, we're sort of dealing with all that. It's just, God, it's such a good game. Really, other than that, I'm just kind of getting prepped for Spyro Reignited, which comes out Tuesday.
Yep.
Because believe it or not, I never really got much of Spyro when I was younger. I played a good chunk of the first one, and I never got to play the rest of them, really. Hmm. So, some of this is going to be all new to me, and the stuff that isn't is going to look glorious and delicious, wonderful HD.
Yeah.
Well, Pixar quality. Yeah. Hmm. Because I remember being a kid and thinking how cool it was that, wait, I'm a dragon, and wait, is this a cannon? Can I light this on fire? Holy crap, I can light this shit on fire, and it shoots! And I can control and move it around?
Yeah. You can jump around, you start flying to some degree, and it's there was a lot to like about those games. So.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
Are you going physical or digital with that one?
Physical.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I have to. I don't have a whole lot of space left on my PS4.
Well, it's going to install anyway.
Yeah, it's going to install anyway. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know.
Hmm.
But anyway, so other than that, yeah, that's pretty much it. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been playing The Quiet Man. I played it last week, weekend.
Sympathies.
I actually found some interesting stuff to... I don't know, it was a very, very weird thing that got released. And it's very bad, but it also, it feels like a game you want to sit down with the devs and let them, like, just tell you, like, the whole story of how it got to this point. Because it feels like a game that's
I feel like I'd be even more pissed off after that.
It feels like a game that's unfinished, like, the last, like, 3 months where you're polishing, tightening up things, like, that never happened. Like Square Enix got kind of the bad vibes that people had for it out of E3 and PAX. It's like, shit, we have to get this out as soon as possible.
Out to die.
Well, it's basically what they did. They just dropped it with no fanfare.
Yeah, and so there's lots. It's an action game, like a brawler kind of. Throws you in a lot of scenarios just fighting. And a lot of the animations have no transitions between them. So sometimes you'll just knock guys down to the ground, and if you start trying to attack them the second they're available to hit, they pop up immediately. Things like that. Like, there's no getting up animation. They just pop straight up so you can hit them. Things like that. Sometimes you'll finish fights, and then it'll warp you around to go into the cutscene, or you beat the last guy before it goes into a cutscene and just hard cut straight to it. It's like lots of just weird animation stuff that does not work well at all. And yeah, the story is indecipherable because outside of the first like 2 or 3 minutes, there's no subtitles for anything. And all the dialogue has some sort of like filter over it that makes it sound very muffled in a way that you can't, you know, tell what they're saying. Like, you maybe try to lip read a little bit, but otherwise you're kind of just guessing. So you're like, okay, so this kid's mom got killed in this weird gang fight, so he has a grudge on this Latino gang and goes to go beat them up, and then and your guy is kind of fighting or working with this dude, his black guy, who I guess was a childhood friend of his. And then you see these flashbacks to the day that his mom was killed, and the kid, the acting in that is not great. There's like a moment where he's like
shocking,
walking, holding hands with his mom down the street, sees these two guys fighting with a gun. He just runs up and like waves his hand like, hey! And then the gun goes off, and it's like, I don't know who, what's going on here. You eventually figure out what happened, which is not surprising that not all is as it seems. And there's just lots of weird shit in this game. Because you're just trying to decipher, like, okay, so this kid's mom was killed, but then he's weirdly romantically interested in this other woman that looks like his mom. It's played by the same actress. Did you find cuts in the credits? So I was like, okay, is there some weird, like, Oedipus incest thing going on here? Is this actually his mom? Like, how does... She's pretty dead. She's got blood coming out of her stomach. No bullet holes or anything in the grass, but... yeah, lots of stuff to unpack with this.
Yeah.
The controls aren't great. The way they show you is in the menus are... has, like, neon signs.
God damn
it. And so it shows you the controller, and as you push a button, it highlights it, and then shows you like this weird neon sign of the guy doing some action. It's neat stylistically, but presentationally, it doesn't communicate what it's telling you very well. It's a hell of a thing. I've got a video up on our YouTube channel. I'm going to be putting up on the front page right now.
Now, we've established on this show that I am not a believer in the concept of so bad it's good. And it's really unfortunate for the studio here because that seems to be what they were going for. At least I hope it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were going for.
I think they were actually going for good and then just missed.
Just failed miserably.
Like, never got the budget to get there or the time.
Conceptually, I like what they're doing. It's just the execution seems to be lacking.
And then when you beat it, it shows a countdown clock to the update that adds subtitles for the whole game. Let you hit the post.
Oh, you mean when they definitely have to count down to them finishing the
game. They call it the answer update. Which I have not played that version yet.
I feel like we've talked about something like this before, like where somebody was putting subtitles in a game and wanted credit for it.
I don't know about that, but...
Oh, the E8 do-over?
Yeah, is that what it was? Like,
probably.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't so much subtitles. It was just going through and re-localizing it.
Yeah, because they did such a bad job the first time around.
It was so... Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do like the FMV part of it because it's very cheesy looking stuff. And that's kind of what you want out of FMVs in 2018.
Yeah.
It's just the rest of the game is not holding up the... holding up its end of the deal. With this stuff. though one of the cool things happens near the end of the game, where your guy kind of, yeah, Naruto gets the Nine Tails taken over him, turns into that weird like spiritual version.
Yeah,
he kind of does that.
Well, he goes Super Saiyan on them.
Kind of. He goes this like weird
shit,
demon
I'm
takes
I'm
over.
I'm kind of interested now if he goes Super Saiyan.
And makes it really easy to beat guys up, but it's you do the move that generally just does a knockdown on them, and it warps you back to the same spot to do it every time. You have like no health idea when these guys are going to die, so I'm just sitting here. It's almost kind of like a Shawn Michaels super kick. Sweet chin music that he's doing. But these guys just keep getting up over and over again. And yeah, it's a real, real whole thing. And the game doesn't really do a good job with the combats. So you know how most combat games like generally go like one or two guys at a time?
Yeah.
They don't have anything like this. So there's one part where I had probably about six or seven guys getting around me. And yeah, does not.
I'm on the final chapter. I think it's the final chapter where we're fighting in a bar. And yeah. There's like fucking 12 guys there, and I've tried like 20 times to get through it, and I can't.
What I ran around. The running motion is great because he goes like full speed. And it's not like human speed. It's a little bit faster than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, anytime you start getting crowded, you run out. And sort of the guy that's like most likely to attack you will like run straight at you.
Yeah. The thing is, they box you in so you can't move.
And if you use the L2 move, that does like a, cues like a special move that you can do.
I didn't even know L2 was a thing. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, you use that. It's like L2 and triangle. He'll just fucking do like a big chop on his head and knocks him out. That sort of thing.
I'll try if I open it again.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I got out of a lot of combats. Well, you've seen that boss fight in the burning building that you didn't know was burning.
Yeah.
The guy that he's the big lumbering guy.
Mm-hmm.
Typically in games, you bait them into running into a wall or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Here he has a really stupid running animation. and it's really hard to get him to run into a wall because he doesn't necessarily get into the actual running animation often. But then you beat him up enough and he turns into a zombie. At least that's how he runs around. So there's this weird, like, barely able to walk running that he does. It's a game that's good to watch other people suffer through it. Mm. Or go into it knowing that it's not going to be good and kind of just enjoying all of it.
I would not be able to do that.
But not for a full price.
Yeah.
I paid the $13.50 for it because it's on sale for the next week or so.
I got a review code. Thank you.
Mm-mm. Have fun.
I jumped into that.
Yeah.
not long. But yeah, that. I don't know what they were really going for, but that it's a hell of a thing. Yeah, enjoy the end. You're going to be on a top of a roof.
If I get there.
Yeah. Fighting a guy that is kind of... Some of these bosses are kind of invincible. You don't know if you're just... If you're hitting them, if you're actually doing any damage, or if they're just in, like, immune mode. And, like, you have to put them in some sort of state that you can't.
So you're telling
damage.
Me it has stealth curb stomp battles.
I feel like all this is telling me is that Chris hates himself.
I kind of enjoy playing bad games at times. Because you can kind of just get really interesting. You can kind of feel interesting game stories came out of it. Like, this game, something's happened.
All right, everybody listening to this, Chris played this game so you don't have to.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if this game came out in 1995 for the Sega Saturn, it would probably be Game of the Year back then.
Well, no, because that was Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
It would be the Sega Saturn Game of the Year.
Yeah.
But
anyways.
But yeah, that's a hell of a thing. And now I want to play it again. So I was looking at the trophies. There's one for getting through the whole game without getting hit once. And unsurprisingly, it's 0%. Nobody's ever done it. At least when I checked. And
there's no platinum.
No.
So
that's your platinum, is to somehow figure out how to play this game without getting hit, which it's not easy to do. Like, enemies will clip through things, and like clip through doors and stuff. You'll clip, the camera will clip through bodies. There'll be plenty of fights. You've probably seen Danreb where the camera is just in a weird spot. It makes it really hard to see what you're doing.
Yep.
It's like, oh, it's in the in this corner, and you're kind of close to the wall where the camera's not really looking. It's like, eh. It's really, really bad game. So, yeah, that's that was the weird game I played this week. Also played Red Dead Redemption 2. I am still pretty early on in that. I got out of the snowy mountains, kind of down to the main camp, at least the first one. And I'm kind of just doing a couple missions, just running around, doing some hunting and all that. And yeah, that game is really slow. Not even just in how it progresses, but just animations are slow to do. Like, to run, it's really slow. Even if I can run, like around the camp, you can't really run. And it's a game I think I don't like too many of its systems. I think it's a little bit too simulation-y in various aspects. So I'm kind of hoping I can get some stuff that helps make it less like full of its shit. In a way where, you know, so you're like fighting this like Irish gang is like the early thing that I'm doing. And going around, there's some guys from that gang that are hanging around. They'll just talk shit to you. And so I, you know, talk shit back. It's like, well, I'm going to kill you. It's like, good luck with that. And I pull out my lasso and tied him up. Threw him on my horse, which ended up with me getting wanted for kidnapping. And I threw him down a hill or over a cliff. It's like, that's good. I did that out of anybody's view, so I didn't get charged with murder or anything. So I just went back and paid the $10. Like, that was worth it. But then I also saw them like hanging out on a bridge. Like, this is our bridge. Go away. And I was like, okay, there's plenty of ways to get around this bridge. It's not like it's a one-way thing. But yeah.
That,
horses are weird. I did a quest with where this guy was like, were you in Blackwater, which is the previous town they were in?
Yeah, like, before the game starts.
Yeah. And so he goes running off in his horse. And so I capture him. I save him. I didn't kill him. But then his horse just stayed there. He just ran away. I was like, well, okay, I got this horse now. And unfortunately, I did a quest to get to Valentine, so I didn't use my actual horse. So I went and took this horse back to camp, and now there's just like an extra horse there.
Wish not, want not.
There's some quests to just end up with you having an extra horse. I did a bounty for this quack medicine guy, and yeah, his horse is just hanging around. So now I added that to our camp, and it's like, oh, why can't I just find somebody to just sell this horse to them?
You can.
You can. You can.
You can.
Yeah, there's a stable in town. Okay. You can just take any horse there and sell it. The horses work like cars used to in GTA where you can take them to a chop shop.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't introduced any of that yet, so I did not know. Well, I got horses for days now. And they show up as like
you have glue for days, my horse. Friend.
And it's weird. I like to disown a horse, but I guess I just have to take it to a stable. But I have to find a way to make a horse train. Bring my actual horse and tell this other one
to That's easy to do, too. You get on the current horse that you have and you just tap up to whistle for the other one or it'll follow you.
Yeah.
I do that stealing stagecoaches. So then I don't get stranded.
Yeah. Also just been hunting a lot. Doing some of the challenge stuff where I'm trying to get kill rabbits on the horses.
Should we talk sort of briefly about the actual like skinning of the animals? Because
he's
pretty,
pretty cool. Good at it. It's like it's like Velcro the way he rips it off.
Yeah, like and rabbits. I've been on looking on Reddit and everything and how people are absolutely shocked like God, I didn't realize how brutal it was to skin an animal.
I thought it was a little more graphic in the first one.
I think that's mostly because it's implied more than anything.
Yeah, and, like this one has. Whereas, like, let's rip this shit off and unroll it on this bitch.
Yeah. The way they had just like a cutscene where you're just focused on John Marston's face as he's doing this.
Yeah, and the thing is about that is that it's a lot more audio specific because you actually hear like the sound of him cutting through flesh and, you know, cutting the skin off and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, you actually see him do it, and yeah, it's basically them. Yeah, like a ripe banana.
It's like he's a kid on Christmas, and he just has a knife to cut the tape instead of ripping it off.
Yeah,
like he's just very weirdly surgical, but also the skin apparently doesn't hang on the bones that much.
Yeah,
like especially
specifically with the with rabbits and squirrels and the smaller rodents. Yeah. You see how he does that thing where he just straight rips it off with like just a couple of tugs.
He holds him by the hind legs and just like, shoo, it's off.
Yeah, that is totally something that is done, because I remember when I was a little kid and we'd go, you know, off to Chauncey during Thanksgiving, and a bunch of relatives of mine would go out squirrel hunting in the late morning, and they'd come home and skin them, and yeah, they do exactly that. They just put the finger in the anal cavity and just whoosh, right off in like two or three tugs.
Okay. That's I'll never leave the house again. Okay, so yeah, I've been kind of messing around a bit. I pet a dog. So that was pretty good. Yeah, I'll probably talk a bit more during our discussion a little bit later.
Yeah.
Ask you guys questions about... I ended up staying out all night one time because I couldn't rent a room. I guess I came in too late. It was like 10 o'clock or something. But he would not let me rent a room, even though I went in all the rooms and there's nobody in there.
Mm.
You got these rooms. I got a dollar for you. But he wouldn't pay to take them. And yeah, like some of the weird stuff, like your guy gets dirty. Mm-hmm. But I failed a mission. It was that mission with the guy on the horse. Cause somehow the cops got involved. And it's like the cops found out about this thing and it failed me. Then I came back and my guy had a clean face. Like you got to shower in this retry or something.
Do
like
you
that.
Use but, your bandana?
No, this is you just should. After quest after
yeah you really if you're gonna do any illegal activity in the game, you really really need to put the bandana on first because people will remember you and they will identify you.
Though I didn't think this was just like at the end of a quest where this guy's like, hey, I've seen you before, then he ran off. It's like I didn't have any notion that this was an illegal thing that was happening.
Also, when you're done with the illegal thing and you're safely away, remember to take
it, by the way.
By the way, when you're safely away, remember to take the mask back off, because people tend to freak out if they see you with that on.
Yeah. Well, if you're riding into town, that shit's
about to happen.
Yeah.
I found that if you're riding into town with like a dead deer on the back of your horse, people get real freaked out. They start pulling out their gun, threatening to shoot you. But yeah, also when I took that one of the horses,
I'm
going to
need some
camp,
historical context for that.
Yeah, I don't know, but when I took one of the horses back. I was trying to lead him to one of the hitches, and he got stuck in a weird animation where he's just sidestepping forever. Mm. He's just dancing through the forest sidestepping. It was really fucked up weird bug. And then he got stuck in another hitch in the other part of the camp, and I was like, oh, this horse is, I should just shoot this horse somehow. But I don't think you can shoot anything in the camp. But yeah, that game's all right.
Mm.
Look forward to put some more time into it.
And I am actually more prepared for this episode's discussion than I thought I would be, because a friend of mine has been streaming it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, lots of little weird bugs I've seen.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Sniper Elite 4, which is on Game Pass right now. That is obviously a follow-up to the other Sniper Elite games, which is... This one is more of an open world. Each of the missions is sort of this little open world. The first one's on an island. And so you're kind of tasked with taking out all these generals, but you obviously want to do it stealthy. With a sniper rifle. You also have some other guns and such. But
you just turn on a fan?
Yeah, that's what's keeping my GPU from melting down.
Yeah, that's Phil.
Yeah.
I'll just mute myself.
Yeah, and so one of the ways you do this is there are planes flying around. And so
does
you
sound like Phil's GPU?
They're louder. And the good thing is that they mask the sound of your gun, so you kind of... I've spent a lot of this first mission just standing around in towers marking people so I knew where they were at, and when the planes would come by, it's like, all right, I'm going to take out one or two people here, which, depending on where they're killed at, can cause other people to become aware of things, but they're kind of too stupid to find anything. If I played on a harder difficulty, I probably wouldn't be able to get away with things as much. But yeah, there's... It's actually a pretty good stealth game. Though I kind of wish... I kind of wish it was easier to be able to track some of these things. So you can kind of do a lot of marking of, like, things you can blow up, all that sort of stuff. But I would get to some points where I'm trying to take out an enemy in a tower, but just the weird way the geometry works, it's what kind of block it with invisible stuff, because you're trying to shoot between these two posts, and it's not letting the bullet go through as easily as I would have liked or expected, actually. But yeah, sometimes they show these enemies on the map, little mini map, and they don't necessarily do a good job of, you know, indicating whether this guy is, you know, above you, below you, that sort of stuff. So I'm like looking around at this enemy icon. Is like, this is where he is, and I'm on a hill, so he has to be below somewhere, and I have to figure out where at. Like, there's some caves somewhere, so I have to go figure out where those are at, go find them. It's not as clear, but for the most part, it's a really cool way of doing things. And in the Sniper Elite tradition, when you get some really good kills lined up, it goes in for a kill cam. And sort of Mortal Kombat X, like X-ray stuff, showing you as your bullet goes into their eye and into their brain, just scrambles it all. That sort of gory stuff. And that's a real good way
back
to kill some Nazis.
To the left.
Yeah. I've been trying to go for some nut shots, but I have not been lucky for that yet. But yeah, I'm trying to set up some of that stuff. But yeah, I'm still in the middle of the first island. I took a little break, but it's quite a good game if you like shooting Nazis and watching their innards explode.
It's a classic American pastime.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that first part is pretty much all the selling you need to do.
Yep. Shoot some Nazis and watch their innards explode if you do a good enough shot.
Take my money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got Tetris Effect, but I have not had a chance to start it yet.
Oh, man.
Because I've been skinning rabbits and deer. And saving men from snake bites. So, yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I've been playing the transfer game. Some of you know, I've got my hand on one of the elusive 500 limited edition PS4 Pros. A friend called me who worked at GameStop and said, "Hey, man, we have a return." And I was wondering if you wanted it. And I was like, "Yeah, sure." The plan was to sell it.
You just broke up there, dude.
Sexy. So I just sold my old PS4 Pro to the coworker that. And
you're fading in and out hard.
Yeah, Dan Reb, it sounds like you're not even near the mic, bro. All
right. Sorry. All right, so. You hear me now?
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, I have a PS4 Pro 500 limited edition one. And I sold my other one to a coworker. So, yeah. I wanted to resell it, but I couldn't because it's just too sexy and I'm lazy. So, that's always a good combination. And, yeah, it's a great looking console.
is that the name of your sex tape?
But yeah, it's a great-looking console. My only real complaint is the fact that it's glossy and not matte. That'll attract a lot of dust, and all of my stuff is on a black entertainment center. So, yeah, not looking forward.
Just get some handy wipes on it. You'll be fine.
What was that?
Just get some handy wipes on it. You'll be fine.
Yeah, be all right.
Yeah, the alcohol-based ones, those will take care of it pretty easily.
Yeah. So far, in my opinion, it's quieter. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but maybe because I haven't really been playing any intensive 4K games on it yet.
No, it actually is a thing.
Okay, cool. Mm. And as for what I've been playing, yeah, I've been playing The Quiet Man. Square Enix hooked it up with a review code. And this is actually something that I've been looking forward to ever since I saw it in Square Enix's E3 press conference. Little did I know that it would come out this year and that the game would blow horribly. Yeah. So the game's a piece of shit. As Chris mentioned, they did release DLC this week that adds subtitles and some more dialogue. And that doesn't really help the fact that the game is still shit.
You know, Chris, all this time we've wanted Square Enix to send us review codes, and they finally do, and it has to be this.
Oh my god.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, like, I pasted an entry from their press release into our conversation, and I was like, man, they have some really talented PR writers over in their group. They might as well just have them write RPGs, too. But yeah. The game is total shit. As Chris mentioned, there is nothing that makes sense. Apparently, the guy's name is Dane. I just learned that from reading the press release. And a lot of the FMV stuff is actually pretty nice, but when it transitions into actual gameplay, it's just super shitty. Like, all the textures get all messed up. The character models aren't even that great to look at. And it doesn't help that the main character looks like a total douche. Like, I don't care if he's deaf. Like, this is not somebody I'd want to talk to or spend any time with. And he's not interesting at all.
I mean, he's trying to fuck his mother, so.
And I'm suddenly really, really upset I made that sex tape joke.
Another bad thing is when you die in the game, you see a vision of, like, your mom making faces at you. And it's just really bothersome, and you really don't want to see it, but you die a lot in this game if you really don't know what you're doing. As Chris mentioned...
kind of like a wake-up sleepyhead, except without saying that.
Exactly, because you can't hear. But, yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ, I hope this game sells well enough to afford therapy for the developers.
Yeah.
Like, especially after playing a great game like Hellblade: The Senua's Sacrifice... where, you know, you could really understand the issues of having voices in your head. When you're playing this, it's like, oh my god, did you guys even, like, study, like, any disabilities that went on? But yeah, we spent way too much time talking about The Quiet Man. I'll move on from that.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to write the review between the two of us, but it looks like it'll get a combined score of 1. So,
half.
So, I got Diablo 3 for the Switch. Mind you, I have never played a Diablo game before. What? I am not somebody that is really all that interested in dungeon crawlers, but from what I've played so far, it's really, really fun. Obviously Phil loves it, so he definitely understands where I'm coming from here. But
wait a minute, you've never played Diablo?
I've never played a Diablo game.
Between you and you not playing this shit, Chris not having played Symphony of the Night for a while, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
We're a bunch of misfits. What do you
mean? I mean, Diablo wasn't all accessible on console.
I don't play Minesweeper a few years ago. So, you know, there's that.
But. You don't play fucking Minesweeper. What about Solitaire, you simple fuck?
Solitaire is okay, except when it crashes my computer. But yeah, so
Diablo do Solitaire in Windows 10. You have to pay for.
Diablo 3 is really solid. I've primarily been playing it at work. Like, one of the guys actually got a Switch for this game, and I was like, what the fuck? But I went ahead and got it because everyone else did, and we've been raiding, like, every night until, like, 11. So
yep.
I've been arriving home late, and that's why I haven't been playing Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. So how is it as far as, like, the graphics and everything on Switch? Is it? I heard it's blurry.
I mean, I'm not a visual.
He doesn't have anything to compare it to.
I wouldn't be able to say much there. It looks great in handheld. I've put it on the TV and on our monitors, and, like, some of the guys are saying it looks like shit. I personally don't have an issue aside from the fact that all the font is Arial.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's solid. It plays well. The force feedback on the Joy-Cons feels great. And
what class are you playing?
Necromancer.
All right.
Yeah, so I have a level 52 Necromancer. I'll probably get it to 70 before Pokemon comes out and totally stop playing. But from what I've played, it's definitely enjoyable. I have an extra copy if anybody wants it for $50. And, yeah, that's largely it.
All right, so how about you, Lee?
You know, what everybody else is doing. Red Dead. I'm not having the issues Chris is having, but I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, the one thing that's really interesting about this game in general is that it's very much like the simulation aspect of it is absolutely insane. But I almost feel like it might be too much for some people.
Yeah. I've been hearing that too. It's just because it's a bit more, I guess, slower moving than a lot of modern games are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very unapologetic for what it is, which I can actually really, really appreciate. But at the same time, like, there's I think it's just one of those things that will or won't click for certain people. And I think one of the things about the game that I don't find that, you know, particularly fun is just the amount of like systems upon subsystems that are like interlinking. And it's like, so you gotta make sure that you eat, you gotta make sure that you do this, you gotta make sure that you do that. And like, some of that is fun and it hasn't gotten to the point where it's distracting, but it, for where I'm at in the game, it certainly feels that way. But then, like, for every time that I start to get annoyed, there's just something absolutely insane that happens. Like, you know, where I'm just, you know, riding along and somebody tries to rob me, or I run into a stranger, or like, and just like this stuff that makes it so much cooler than almost any other game that I've ever played. It's a real conundrum of a game, and it's almost like a paradox in that way, because it's like, fuck, this stuff is really cool, the stuff that they're doing is really cool, but then you run into other things. How much better would it have
been if it had gotten out of its own way?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is to be fair, I feel like it sort of does that. Like, you don't have to engage with a ton of the stuff that's in the game. You can, this is one of those games you can definitely truly play it however you want. But I think that for some people, probably how slow it is in the beginning will just end up being a real turnoff, because it feels like they want you to really get into the world. And then everything sort of unfolds from that, whereas a lot of other games tend to work in the vein of, we're going to get you into our world by having you do all of these things. And Red Dead sort of works a different way, where it's like, you're going to be out in the world and these things are going to happen to you. And so I could see that being kind of a problem for some people. I don't really have a problem with it, but it is definitely one of those games where you can't sit down and play it if you have 20 minutes. Like, if you're sitting down, you need to be engaged, like, for a minute. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to sit down and play this in 30-minute chunks. So I've just been trying to fit that in where I can. I'm really, I will say the acting in it is spectacular. The mocap, the facial, everything in it looks so good. And it's probably one of the most polished games I've ever seen in terms of, like, everything that I've run across so far in it works fantastically. It doesn't have that. And I don't know if I'll encounter that later, but it doesn't have that jank that you really associate with a lot of open world games. It doesn't have that problem. So that in and of itself, I think, is just absolutely crazy. Like, who would have ever thought that there'd be an open world game that just wouldn't, you know, would actually like functionally work in all the ways that it was supposed to? It's pretty impressive. So been doing that, been trying to play WoW so I can play that with my wife, but I gotta tell you, I'm getting super, super frustrated with it. Remember last week we were talking about the Blizzard being in love with RNG, and like, oh my god, like, I there's no point of reference for you guys for this, but I'll just try to make it as simple as possible. So the way vanilla WoW used to work is you had skill trees, just like in any other RPG. You gain a level, you get a point, you put that point in something, and you go from there, right? And so for the longest time, people have wanted skill trees to come back. And what Blizzard did is they actually did away with the skill trees and basically just had it so, like, every 15 levels you get a you basically sort of get like a perk in a way. And that in and of itself actually worked fine. It made the game leveling work better, but it sort of took away that kind of feeling of like, oh, well, I dinged and I got, you know, I got a new level, so I should get something new for it. But overall, it made like the choices that you actually made were much more interesting rather than like, oh, if I put a point in this, I get 0.5% in critical strike. Like, that's not that interesting. You know what I mean? So, but what they've been doing is like last expansion, they had these weapons that basically acted as a skill tree. And that was on top of all like the other stuff that you can do. And it was worked really well. Well, they yanked that shit out for this expansion and they sort of put it back, except they put it on pieces of gear. So like your chest piece, your helmet and your shoulders. When you get them, they have this thing called the Azurite system where basically, and it's randomized. And this is where I get really fucking irritated, is it's randomized so that every new piece of gear that you get like that has three traits that are randomized on it. And then you basically unlock them and they can change how you play. And some of them are interesting, but the problem is it's done so poorly. Like you guys, like I know a couple of you guys have played Forza Horizon 4. You know how like each car has that skill unlock on it? Where it's like if you do this, you get more, you know, more speed skills and more bonus, like shit like that. Damn. It's like that, except for every piece of, like for three of the six pieces of armor that you wear. But at least on the Forza ones, they're set. This one isn't. So you could end up with like a piece of gear, like in WoW, everything's done through what's called an eye level. And the higher the eye level of your gear, the better it's supposed to be. But what ends up happening is you can end up with something like a 340 eye level, and it'll have none of the traits on it that you actually need. And you'll have a piece that's like 305, which is supposed to be way worse, just statistically speaking. But it might actually have the traits on it that you need. So you stick with the gear that's shittier. Because it actually has what you need. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Item level is a language that I speak, and if something like that ever reared its head in Final Fantasy XIV, people would revolt.
Yeah, and I don't know. What it is, it's one of those things that, like, you know, we've talked before about, like, the hamster wheel. This is one of those things that's just, like, they're just showing you the hamster wheel. And it's not designed to make things better for the player. It's not designed to make things more interesting. It's just designed so that you will keep logging in and then keep trying to get this piece of gear that will actually be better. And it's like, at this point, like,
it really shows a lack of confidence in the product.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous because it's like, dude, if I wanted to fucking do this, if I wanted to play the lottery, I'd play the fucking lottery. Like, I don't want to do this in a game that I fucking have enjoyed for almost 14 years now. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? And it's not done for any reason except to keep you playing over and over and over again, which is RNG on top of RNG on top of RNG. So, you know, I'm enjoying it, you know, playing it with my wife, but I don't know how long I'm going to stick with it because I have a, you know, you guys have heard me bitch about it, you know, for years. Like, I want to play things that respect my time, and this is so far from that right now. It's ridiculous. Well, so,
if you ever want to explore greener pastures, I will welcome you completely.
I know. The thing is with this is that, you know, the big thing with WoW is that it's something that me and my wife absolutely do together. If I could get her to switch MMOs for a bit, I probably would. Because we did Star Wars.
Get me posted.
I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll see. But
I mean, it's got that free trial up to level, I think, 20 or 30. So
yeah, I don't know.
Give that a go and see how she takes to it.
Yeah, you know, but I think it's also the sunk cost of it. We've been playing this game for so long. It's just, you know.
You mean the sunk cost fallacy?
Well, yeah, but it's still there's still something about like, oh, well, I'm playing this and I'm familiar with it. Blah 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 blah. yeah. And then,
I think you'll find Final Fantasy 14 to be a lot more familiar than you think.
Probably. Well, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried more about my wife because, like, you know.
Her too.
Yeah. Well, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I want to see what they do. They're supposed to fix a bunch of this bullshit in patch 8.1. Like, this is one of the things they got lambasted about it at BlizzCon. So they're supposed to be apparently trying to fix a bunch of this crap in patch 8.1, which is supposed to come out next month. So we'll see. So I've just been doing that. I'm playing a little bit of Hearthstone here and there. Like, whenever I'm, like, waiting on something, I'll do a quick game of that. And, yeah, just trying to find time. I think the next big thing that I'm going to be playing is like waiting on Black Friday sales and figuring out what is actually like worth the money. Like hearing you guys talk about Tetris, I'm like, I would pay $20 for that, not 40. So like those are the kinds of sales that hopefully I'll come across and then come, you know, pick up something I might enjoy during the holidays. You know what I miss? and it probably is only just me because I'm sure it doesn't actually happen to you guys, but I always miss like having that game that you play during the holidays. But because we're so busy and we have all that stuff, all these things going on, it's not something where it's like, this is going to be the game that I play during Christmas break. Like, this is the busiest time of year for my job. Otherwise, it would be the kind of thing where it would be like, I'll just take a week off and go play an RPG or, you know, and then hang out with my family and blah, blah, blah. We don't get to do that. But it's so funny, like, looking at this stuff, because it's like, oh, well, you know, what would be the holiday season game? Because remember, that's what we always used to be. Like, the
Octopath.
Yeah. But well, that's the thing. I don't know. I do have Octopath. That may be something that I end up playing. I'm not sure. Portability now is so important.
Try to get at least a little bit of it in before game of the year. That's the one I'm kind of pandering for this year.
Well, mine's going to be Dragon Quest, since I can't choose Witcher.
There's some legit salt coming out of that.
Just saying.
Well, Geralt is in Soul Calibur.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I saw that color cover, and I was like, well, you know. Oh, no.
Damn. All right, so shall we get to the news?
Yeah.
Okay, first bit of news. Apparently, Konami might actually be interested in making games again.
Well, they... This takes a little bit of preface from political news over in Japan, because they've been trying to legislate the Yakuza out of existence.
Pretty much,
And that has had the unintended
game or
side
the
effect.
Actual Yakuza?
The actual Yakuza. And that some of the legislation has unintentionally choked out the patchy slot industry. So there's not really... very fertile ground for Konami to try and grow a business on in that regard. So that it's the same thing that happened to SNK. They just have to kind of come back to making games because there's not much else for them.
Right.
So I just had to get that preface out of the way.
Yeah, okay. So the big news here is that the Suikoden site over in Japan has actually gotten a complete overhaul.
Yep.
I can't read anything here.
Yeah, but... Konami is not the kind of company that would spend a dime on a site overhaul if something wasn't
right. Yeah. Oh, don't tease me, Konami.
Yeah, so it's like you can look at this, and it's like very interesting as what it could be. Given Konami's past track record over the past few years,
yeah, exactly. There is that possibility. Yeah.
I mean, it's also been a really long time since we got a good Suikoden game, so...
Yeah. Although, to be honest, well. I don't know that Suikoden mobile game would work all that well.
Make it a clicker.
Well, I mean, the first two Suikoden games were basically clickers anyway.
Pretty much. So,
that's true.
So that's one to keep an eye out for, because, if we can get Suikoden 6, it might be...
If they genuinely want to restore that franchise, that could be huge in this day and age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be huge in Japan, because that series is really popular there.
Well, as well as the source material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm surprised you haven't had it. Yep. I'm surprised that hasn't been a Brandon's Random Factoid over on Let's Weekend yet.
It's pretty much that and Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Yep.
It's like pretty much an endless source of
amazing feudal stories to pick from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard at some point somebody called it like the Game of Thrones of Japan.
It really is.
Well, it's Chinese. Well,
Chinese literature.
Yeah.
But the Japanese love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're interested, there are fully translated editions of the Water Margin that you can get.
They even got the entire concept of the 108 stars from that.
Yep.
Like, there are 108 principal characters in the Water Margin.
Mm-hmm.
For the exact same reason as there were in Suikoden.
Yeah. So,
Fun fact, The Water Margin, also one of Mao Zedong's favorite books.
I believe it.
Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned. We will report back.
We will report the shit out of this if anything comes of it.
Yeah. So, in unexpected news, Square Enix, they did a live stream to announce this for some reason. So Hajime Tabata is resigning from Square Enix, and the Final Fantasy 15 DLC that was supposed to come out is now no longer coming out.
Yeah, it's just releasing the overall
$33 million loss.
Yeah, which seems to suggest this is literally like the same crap that happened with the Tomb Raider reboot, where it sold like millions of copies, and Square Enix said it didn't sell enough.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because
there was a narrative attached to this, though. They said development on Final Fantasy 15 was solvent. It has turned a profit, and all is well with the franchise. Now, Tabata leaving and canceling future development on Final Fantasy 15 all of a sudden leads to a $33 million loss.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
No.
And that feels like bullshit to me. Like you don't. So one person leaving doesn't cause a company to lose that much money.
No, like they were losing money before he left.
Yeah. They're just using that as a scapegoat. Like that doesn't make any sense.
Whereas I'm wondering if it would be better for them to just cut to the true heart of the matter and finally fire Tetsuya Nomura.
Yeah.
We know that's where the money went.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
Well, you know what? It could be that the loss was overall for the project, because I mean that game has been in fucking development since what, like 2005?
What I mean, and they said that it gained money after the fact.
Yeah. So they're cooking their books somehow.
Yeah.
Brandon.
I was going to say the thing about Nomura though that people have to remember is that Nomura has said countless times that he's never really been a project leader. He's always been the art guy. The reason he keeps getting shoved into these leadership positions is purely for name recognition.
Yeah.
They need to put that in perspective.
Yeah. But to be honest, Nomura is talented enough in a bunch of other segments that I really don't like the idea of Square Enix sort of turning him into the scapegoat, the sacrifice here. Because
It's much easier for them to point to the guy that's leaving and go, he was the problem and he's why we lost the money. Like, I see this happen all the time in the corporate world, is that if you're really good at one thing and then the company doesn't have a lot of managers, they're like, well, fuck it. You can be a manager. You've been successful at this other stuff. Can't you just be successful at this? And that seems like this kind of situation. Like Nomura is an artist and he shouldn't be in charge unless, you know, that's truly what he wanted. He shouldn't be in charge of these things, but you have to look at the two big projects that he's been in charge of, which is Final Fantasy 15 or whatever the fuck it used to be called, and Kingdom Hearts 3 are both 10 years late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're money pits.
And the thing is that at some point, like, you can't, like, we can talk about the guy and whatever his work ethic might be or whatever it is, but at some point, like, there are managers and there are stockholders and there's a board and there's all kinds of people that could step in and go, this is not working. We like the guy. He's got talent. He needs to do these other things for us rather than just, you know, be like what you just said, be a money pit to suck up this cash because we got to start making money. And I think it was also that, and I think it was also partly – frankly, arrogance on Square Enix's part, kind of reeked of like the way that Sony did things, which is just like, well, we have the name, so people are going to show up. They didn't show up for 13, pal. Like, you guys need to fucking reexamine that shit.
And I thought that when Yoichi Wada stepped down, that they were finally cutting to the heart of the problem. And you still keep seeing Nomura mishandled like he's been.
I'm starting to think that it's not Iwata that's not the asking. Prime. I think Iwata is more or less became another scapegoat. I think there's
about Yoichi Wada?
Yeah, I think there is an entire very toxic kind of corporate culture that is, you know, okay, look, you know the phrase, the fish rots from the head down.
Yeah.
It is 100, I am absolutely convinced that somewhere toward that up at the top, there is this sort of, I guess, Hollywood sort of mentality that has taken over the Square Enix Corporation, and it's turned them into this...
The cult of Nomura?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily a hold of Nomura, but just the very, at the top, the board of directors, the whole top of the culture of Square Enix has sort of gotten obsessed with this, all of this extravagance and, you know, tossing out money for promotional deals and shit. That
would point to a cult of Nomura. That's what, because he's the guy who holds the key to all that.
That's
and even
true.
If he doesn't
yeah.
want to do it, I mean, the Disney deal for Kingdom Hearts altogether, it's about Nomura. There's mm-hmm. there's no two ways about it. And so if there's this sort of worship of Nomura and his work going on at the top of the company, and he himself is saying, no, I just want to be an artist, then whoever's propagating this mentality at the top needs to go before they right. take the entire company with it.
Well, yeah. not just that, it also speaks to a management problem in general, which is one of the things that has to happen in these kinds of situations is that you have to cultivate people to come in and to take take things on and to train them up and to do everything else like that. And I think seeing how Nomura has kind of been put up, I think it also speaks to the fact that they're not doing anything to deepen that bench. And that's nope. another really big problem. So
do you think it's yeah. kind of like the Keiji Inafune thing that happens a while back where it's like, oh, he's the Mega Man guy. Of course he should leave Capcom. And it's like,
yeah,
he was just the artist for the original. Eventually,
he was just came to be a director. One of the artists for the original.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing with Nomura, but you have the old guard leave, and they're like, "Well, this guy has ties to the big thing that put us yeah. on the map."
Would you say this situation is more akin to Inafune's situation, or what's his
potentially?
Name?
See, I didn't
could
know
it be
part
just
of
sort
that.
Of
Nomura
a part of like
to do these management roles? That's could new it all- to me. So
could it also just be like, I'm sorry, I know we're talking over each other, but I was saying, could it be maybe possible that it's just sort of a symptom of Japanese corporate culture in general?
I believe so. Possibly. I mean, if you look at those other situations,
it's seniority, man. Seniority means a lot in that stuff. And
but I also think Tabata is looking around, looking at like Kojima and saying, oh, this guy is getting this much success elsewhere.
And
why can't I just
me,
use my creative juices somewhere else as well?
But not that just that, though, to be fair. Of, oh, go ahead.
I know how this happened. I can tell you point blank how this happened. Final Fantasy XV did better than it had any right doing, despite what we're seeing here about the numbers. Basically, he polished the turd to the point where it was actually palatable to some point of an audience. And then I'm guessing maybe it was Yosuke Matsuda who sat down and said, okay, you saved us a ton of money compared to where we were headed with this project. You are the Final Fantasy guy from now on. And we all know that what he wanted to do after Final Fantasy XV was done, he wanted to make Final Fantasy Type 1.
Mm-hmm.
But if the insistence was that, okay, he's going to make Final Fantasy 16 and 17 and 18, I can see why he just decided to avoid getting thrown into, if you will, the Masahiro Sakurai stall.
Yeah.
And cut his losses, get out of the company with the resume that that he now has with having saved Final Fantasy 15 from itself.
Mm-hmm.
And see what he's worth on the open market. And apparently he's also already found a buyer because he's already said he's going to work on a new IP at a new studio.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have Luminous Studio that that was his former team have already been assigned a AAA project, which we all know is Final Fantasy 16.
Mm-hmm.
Math.
Yeah.
So what would be, in your mind, like a good fit for Tabata?
He's already doing his own thing.
Indy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is, don't forget, I mean, we've also got, you know, you have some of these creators that have been able to branch out now and do their own things without, frankly, having, you know, their name is big enough that they don't really need that corporate overlord. And, I mean, it's not like this is a new thing at Square Enix. Like, they ran off Mitsuno. You know, like, mm-hmm. you can't put a person, you can't put, you know.
Wait, Mitsuno's gone?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You can't run off people that are essentially auteurs. Like, look, Konami did it with Kojima. Like, there comes a point where these people are, like, too big. You know what I mean? And so I think in a lot of ways, some of these companies really want to bucket that talent and go, well, you're just a person. And the thing is, that's
not just
how
a cog in this machine. Yeah. We can replace you.
Exactly. And that's not really how that stuff works.
There is a lot of resentment toward the idea that a creator can become their own brand. And what we're seeing here is definitely pushback against that.
I mean, and you see, and you're definitely seeing like, fuck, look at, and even for things that haven't come out yet, look at how much everybody's looking forward to Bloodstained. Yep. You know, they weren't going to let those guys make this kind of game for years. And so then they said, fuck it, we'll just kickstart the thing. And everybody's all over it. You know, like, I think that's sort of the takeaway here that you can look at from him leaving is going, well, I can do this somewhere else and not have somebody up my ass. So, and I can do it the way that I want to do it without. And then plus structurally, I do think there has to be something wrong at Square Enix, you know, where we talked about like the effect that they've had where they're putting artists in management positions. And there has to also be something going on there where, you know, they could just, the old guard could not be listening. I mean, there could be any number of things happening that are causing this stuff to go on. So, you know, especially I could totally see somebody being like, fuck it, why would I even want to deal with this? I'll just go do my own thing and fuck them because I'm a big enough name to do that.
Yeah, and Square Enix is just weird. I mean, like, you look at their other studios. The reboot of Tomb Raider sold gangbusters, but apparently it still
wasn't good enough.
Hitman is probably the biggest it's ever been, and then they got rid of IO. So
yeah, they said, hey, we want the Quiet Man, not Hitman.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Let's see how that went.
At the same time, like, there's a lot of talk about what they're going to do with the Avengers game, so we don't know. And then we have Octopath Traveler, which is great, probably going to be a Game of the Year thing for us. And yeah, they're good, they're bad, but I don't know if the decisions up top are just really where they should be.
And they also seem to be surprised by things. Like, we've talked about this for ages on this show, like with the way that they've dealt with Dragon Quest doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, yeah. I was reading an article just the other day where they were talking about, like, you know, how 7 and 8 on the 3DS didn't sell to expectations. It's like, that's because you guys released them 3 years later. Like, what the fuck do you expect?
And only on the 3DS.
Yeah, like, well, even though, but even if they did it on the 3DS, like you released it as that system is literally on the fucking down. Yeah. Like,
there's a reason why 11 didn't come out on the 3DS.
Right, but 11 on the 3DS came out, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Like, the same thing, the 3DS remake of 7 came out in, I think it was 2015? And then the one for 8 came out in 2016. I'm getting the dates wrong. I had them written down. But they waited 3 years to give us the re-release of 7 over here in America. And they waited, I think it was 1.5 to 2 years for the re-release of 8. And for the one for 8, they released it like the week before the Switch came out. I've heard them saying that, you know, they're not very happy about the sales of Dragon Quest XI. You released that the same time as Spider-Man. what did you expect to happen?
And they didn't buy the Switch version.
No. Yeah. And it's like, okay, there's so many things here that you could unpack that if somebody was just paying any amount of attention over there, you could fix. But they're not. And I don't know what you can do about that, because it's almost like a level of aloofness that is really, like, kind of scary. Like, you shouldn't be doing this. You should know what your properties are worth. And it's clear that they don't, like, when they did the stuff with the Tomb Raider reboot, it didn't sell to expectations. And it's like, really? What did you expect?
Yeah. Like, the Shadow of the Tomb Raider bombed. That was a few weeks later.
Yeah.
It's like, don't release your game, your Dragon Quest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't release it in this busy season where just hit after hit is coming out.
Right.
Well, they said in January when it's after the Christmas season.
Right. And the funny part is, when you're looking at that stuff, we bitched about it for years. Like, you know, back there there's always a drought at the, you know, in January and February. And then there's typically a drought in the summertime. And like, what these companies have done is they've just pushed back the stuff that they would release in November, and they pushed that back to October. And it's like, you're still jamming all of these games in the same time period, and people only have a finite amount of time. And that's one of those things, like to sort of seek to one of the things that I was going to talk about. It just makes sense in this instance, is that Activision has said that they are upset with the sales, like the Forsaken for Destiny 2 did not hit the sales targets that they had for it. And I was looking at some information, and that game apparently, I don't know what it was for sales figures, but as far as like actual money brought in, apparently it made more than Spider-Man did when it released, which is insane to me. Then they could also then just say, well, it didn't make enough money. And the thing was, is if you historically look at the development of Destiny 2 and the way that it was released to the public, is that they were trying to nickel and dime the fuck out of their customers. And now they finally bring out this expansion that basically fixes all of that shit, and they're mad that people don't want to jump back in the pool. Like, I read something from the CEO. He's like, well, we don't feel like we fully re-engaged the core Destiny 2 player anymore. It's like, bro, they're gone. And they're not going to come back. They're not going to pay $40 for you to fix the game. Like, that ship has sailed.
I gotta jump in here, because what we're really seeing here is a problem that's industry-wide at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Activision is... they're notorious for this. EA is notorious for this. Square Enix is getting into this. It's an incredibly unrealistic expectation of what games will do.
And the weird hubris of thinking your game is going to be the shit and take over
everything.
Even if you're releasing against four other big games at the same time.
I would even offer that maybe there's some sort of an edge of elitism to it. Like, if this is the if this is not a market that wants our game more than it wants, say, Spider-Man or Destiny 2 or whatever, then maybe this isn't a market we want to serve.
Yeah, well, if they don't serve that market, then they're going to find that there's not going to be very many markets left to serve.
Yeah, I just find it galling. Like Call of Duty Black Ops made like $500 million from its launch.
First weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and the thing was, and so the craziest part about this whole thing, when I was looking at whatever the fucking CEO of Activision is now, when he was talking about the big
thing. Bobby Kotick.
Not Kotick. It was somebody else. Maybe it's not the CEO. Maybe it was Vice Hirschberg. President or some shit. Yeah. One of the things that they said in the press release and when they were having their earnings call was that they were going to focus on more monetization and producing content quicker. And it's like, dude, the monetization is why people left. Like, when you were charging people like an ass load of money to tint their gear and having that only be one-time use, when the stuff – correct me if I'm wrong because I didn't play that much of it – but then the stuff in the previous game, if you had the dye, you could just reuse it over and over and over again. Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. That fucking screams of, well, I'm just going to nickel and dime you because I can.
Yep.
And you do that to a player base enough, why are they ever going to show up for you? I think that's the craziest part about all of this is that, like Phil said, is this does seem to be an industry-wide problem, but they keep acting surprised about it. Like, that's the thing that kills me. Like, not to take it in a political slant, but it's like the same people that get upset when our president does something stupid. Like, he's shown us who he is. This is not going to stop. This is how he is. This is how he's going to be. And so it seems interesting to me to look at this stuff with the game industry to go, okay, we fucked over our customers, basically, and they didn't come back. Maybe if we figure out a better way to fuck them over, they'll come back. It's like, no, man. Like, they saw who you were, and they saw what you were trying to do. And because of it, they're out. You're not gonna win those people back. The way to do it is to not double back down on the shit that made them leave in the first place. The fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like how Hollywood is right now, where your movie could make twice the money of what it cost to make, and it could still be considered a failure because you expected it to quadruple it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, not every movie is going to be, you know, a Marvel thing that makes $1 billion or $2 billion or whatever. It's like, if you put in $100 million and you make $300 million, like, you should be happy with that. You made all your money back. You got some extra, but because it didn't make a billion, it's a failure.
It's a failure. Yeah.
It's like business is more focused on return for the stockholders than keeping itself in good shape.
Yeah. And you can see multiple instances of this happen in the real world. Like, to give you guys a real world example, I know Pat does. If any of you guys like follow sports, I know Dan Ribb, you're the same way. A lot of people aren't going to games anymore. They're not going to football games. They're not going to baseball games. They're not going to basketball games because that shit costs so much money. Like there's some stuff where if you're out there and you take your like a family of four to like a ball game, you can end up spending $400 or $500. Why would anyone ever do that? Right? Like just to sit there for 3 hours and, you know, pay $12 for a beer and $18 for a hot dog. Like nobody does that shit anymore. Well, one of the things that they've done here in Atlanta is the Braves games and the Falcons games at the new stadium. The hot dogs are $2. Beers are $5. You can feed like a whole family at a game for I think it's $28. What they've done is that they've seen that that's bringing more people in to watch the games because they know they're not going to get gang raped on the price of the things that they would get when they're there. And even Arthur Blank had said, like, look, you know, we don't mind if we don't make as much on the concessions as we normally would because we're bringing in more people. So we're basically making it through bulk. And it's like, there was something in the article. I think.
And those are the same people who are eventually going to buy the jerseys and the.
Exactly. And basically, and Blank was saying, like, well, you know, we're going to get their money, you know, and not in a bad way, but just that we're going to provide them a good experience, which is going to make them want to come back, which is going to make them spend more money with us. And then, Pat, to your point, those will be the ones that will buy jerseys and everything else like that. And, like, I was reading something like the food markup went from being, like, 500% to, like, 167%. But 167% is better than nothing. Yes. And that's the way that they were looking at it. Like, okay, we're going to get these people in the seats, and that means that we have to make the other stuff affordable. That's what we need to do. That seems to be the key component that's missing here. Like, when I look at, like, the response from Activision's CEO, or again, I can't remember who the fuck the guy was. It's in the link that I sent over for the show notes. But it was just basically like,
well, he's with Activision, and that's about all that matters.
Yeah, it was basically like, well, we can't get this core group hasn't reengaged. So essentially the way that we're going to get them to reengage is to put more microtransactions in the game, to put in and more monetization. Like, that's what made them leave. That's what made them not want to show up in the first place. Fucking listen to people like Arthur Blank who are like, look, the important part is that they're in the door. And if they're in the door and they're enjoying themselves, they're going to spend the money. Don't make them think about the money that they're spending by making the price so exorbitant that they're going to be like, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to do this in the first place. And that's where they're at. Like, Forsaken could be the greatest thing since sliced bread for these Destiny players. But I mean, and I have a lot of friends, guys from the fighting game community that I know that we do Final Round with, that are like hardcore Destiny players. And they're like, man, I already dropped $100 on this game. I'm not giving them another 40 for them to fix it. And that feels like the core problem here. And it's this thing that we're seeing across the industry. And it's part of what we were talking about last week with Blizzard. Like, all of these Diablo players are super concerned that Blizzard is going to find a way to fuck them. And, like, you can't do that to your customers and expect them to keep coming back. And I don't know what these people are thinking. It's definitely what was said a few minutes ago, which is they're thinking about the shareholders and not actually what would actually make the company stay solvent. Like, the company that I work for, their motto is that if we take care of our employees, the employees will take care of our customers, and then our customers will take care of our shareholders. You can't work it the other way. You can't have it be like, we're going to take care of our shareholders so that, and then have that somehow work as top down, which then means, oh, well, the customers will be taken care of. And if the customers are taken care of, then obviously our people will be taken care of. You can't look at it that way. And, you know, when we hear all these things with the industry, with the way that people are treated, and I mean, you're monetizing art in a lot of ways, right? But you can't just keep on this path where the only thing that matters is monetizing it and trying to extract as much as you can out of the people that you want to get money from. Like, people will revolt from that. We saw it with piracy. We've seen it with the fact that people don't want to engage in microtransactions. I read something just this week that said something like DLC has stopped being something that makes these publishers money. And a lot of it is, I don't think it's because of the quality of the product. I think it's because of the feeling that people get, where it's like, why would I spend $20 to get 3 hours? You know, or why would I spend this $20 or $30 on a season pass when I don't even know what you're going to provide for me, which could just be shit you cut out of the game to put back in later. Why wouldn't I just pay for the game a year version?
I just want to circle around on that one for a second, because that was what I thought was impressive when, I'm not sure if you watched the Nintendo Direct or not, Masahiro Sakurai actually said, I don't want you buying the season pass if you aren't confident that you are going to want the content that is in it.
Right. Yeah,
I only want people buying it with confidence.
Right, and that's and that's sort of the exception to all this. Instead, you have now, like, the industry has been heavily monetized towards, we want people, when they purchase this game, to then give us another $30, $40, $50 for the season pass sight unseen, and then that's, we're going to make more money that way. And that's just the same kind of thing. Like, you can't keep doing this to your customers and then provide a shitty product and then expect them to keep coming back. But yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah, people are going to have to vote with their wallets, you know. And the problem is,
gamers are really bad at that.
Yeah, that,
you know.
Well, they're jellyfish. They're flopping in the wind. They won't take a stand for anything.
Yeah. We need to move on
to the game they want to play.
Yeah.
We need to go. Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on. Sorry, because we could talk about this for another half an hour, but we got other stuff to cover. And of course, we'll continue on with XO18 happened this week for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they understand why.
Yeah,
well, I think they're just trying to get into the direct model, and this is what they thought they needed to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was some stuff here.
They already have the direct model sort of with Inside Xbox. This was more of a special episode, but I don't know. It was way too much as far as, like.
Well, if it was a special episode, it was really a clip show is what it felt like.
Well, don't forget, this was also a live event over in Mexico City, so there was a fan fest that went along with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they were cheering their heads off every time they could.
Yeah.
Like, over the people trying to talk.
Well, yeah. They were probably also spectacularly drunk.
Yeah. So,
it's like, hey, do better audio mix. Make the speakers louder and the crowd quieter.
Yeah, but there was some stuff here that we can go through. Probably, I think the biggest and most notable one here was Microsoft picking up two new studios.
I know it was the Terry Crews Crackdown commercial. What are you talking about, Phil?
It's Obsidian and In Exile. I picked up.
I found it really weird that this is like the focus of the show. They hyped it up early on. It's like, hey, we're going to announce two new studios we're acquiring. That's weird.
I mean, it makes sense though.
It would have been nice if they were to announce what they were working on. But
yeah, people have shit on Microsoft for not having enough original content, and this feels like them taking the step to say we're going to have a lot more original content for the next gen. This is something that everybody has voiced as a problem for us. So here's how we're fixing it.
Yeah, but the problem is they haven't worked with these studios. They don't have a rapport with them.
They haven't even announced what they do with Obsidian.
But if you listen to some of those,
they canceled
Microsoft
their game.
Almost caused them to close down.
Yeah, because they were working on like a launch era game, and then Microsoft.
I mean, the reality with all these projects is that this is going to be for the next console. This is not going to be for the next one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it's important to also remember the type of studios that these are. They're both RPG studios.
Yep,
primarily PC. Mostly PC. Although, you know, Wasteland did come out on the consoles, and Obsidian did have KOTOR on the consoles as well.
Obsidian, so New that. Vegas, and Obsidian is the interesting one for me, because especially with I can't even think of the name of their game that they just put out. Was it Pillars of Eternity, Dreadfire?
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently sold like shit. I think I was reading something where it did like maybe 110,000. So it severely underperformed. So part of me thinks that Microsoft coming out and buying them was also to save the studio.
Yeah.
Compared to whatever Divinity apparently sold like millions, whereas this one did not. And they were saying, like, I read some stuff where, like, well, you know, it shouldn't have been a direct sequel. If it could have been something everybody could have jumped in on, it'd have been fine, and like that kind of bullshit. But whatever, it's still just one of those things, man. Like, it makes sense for them trying to build that stable up, because that's something that they can at least say, we have this studio that does these things. And that's not really something you're going to see that much on a Sony console, and I think that's a pretty good strategy. I think if they just tried to copy the studios and the games that Sony has, then people would just go, yeah, why would I do this when I could probably just play something better on the PlayStation?
Well, that's what got them where they are right now anyway, so this is just a change of strategy.
Yeah, but I think, to be fair, I think that also works for them. I think that's why we've seen them double down on backwards compatibility while Sony's running away from it. And I think you've seen them try to be a lot more focused in general towards what their customers want. And it's – I don't know. There's something for me, at least. I'm sure it's the same for you guys. Like, I like Phil. You know, it's nice knowing that there's not a douchebag at the head of it.
Yes.
You know, and that colors – your perception of everything that they're doing. And I think it also allows people to give them slack or give them shit or whatever the case may be. But I don't think you could look at the way Phil is and as forward as he's been about everything and not at least feel like they're on the right track.
He has really saved their games division from itself, and it's all because he's one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Two new studios that expands on their stable. It's starting to look very much like Microsoft took those criticisms of not having any good content to offer to heart, and they're looking to remedy that.
Here is all of the content.
And then think about you. It feeds into, like, because you know Game Pass is going to be a thing for them next generation. This also means, like, that they're able to put more stuff on Game Pass now. I think they're really looking at it as, like, overall, like, if we do these things, this is where we can plug these companies in for our overall strategy. And so I think however you look at it, to me, that felt like more of a signal for the stockholders than anything. It's like, we bought these studios, and this is what it's going to mean. It didn't seem to have that much of a big deal for the gamers, except to say there's going to be some cool shit that's probably going to come down the pipeline for Scarlet.
Yeah. And it's, you just have to hope these studios actually work out, that they do a good job managing it, unlike they did with their partners this whole part of this gen.
Right.
Where they only have one of their new IPs get a sequel, and that's Ori. An indie game. Where it's like, oh, you fucked up every single one of these games. And yeah, we have to hope that part of Microsoft is not the one that's going to be managing these new studios.
Yeah, I was hoping.
Yeah, I just think it'll be cool because, I mean, they addressed the power problem with the Xbox One X. They're addressing the games problems now with these studios and trying to get them.
They're addressing the manpower.
Yeah,
I don't know what the games are going to come out of these studios are.
I think it's fair to say that these studios have produced quality before.
Yeah, but also Rare made quality before Microsoft bought them.
That is true.
A while to get to making that stuff again.
That is true.
That is going to be an argument that can be leveled against just about anything in this vein until proven otherwise, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a wait-and-see approach here.
That's why I think I prefer, like, studio purchases being ones you're familiar with. So them buying Playground and Undead Labs, like, those guys, like, you know, they work pretty well together.
Yeah.
Buying the other studios that haven't worked with them, it's like, it could go either way. It could be really good, or it could go really bad. And they have to shut them down, or whatever.
No, that's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair.
And especially if you're a fan of the work that some of those studios did beforehand. Yeah. Like, I hope they get to keep doing that sort of stuff with more of a security blanket.
I hope it just provides more stability from Obsidian, because for every company they've ever worked for, they've gotten fucked in some way or another. Like,
it's Bethesda
fucked them when it came to bonuses for New Vegas, and you know, you had the stuff with Microsoft and them almost getting the studio closed down. But part of that, though, like your H. Schreier's book, it's because those guys were like, well, fuck what they want us to make. We're going to make what we want. And then Microsoft was like, yeah, it's our money. Fuck you.
And so, Chris Avellone doesn't have nice things to say about those guys.
Chris Avellone doesn't have nice things to say about a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder if maybe the problem isn't the other people.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You know, you could buy a mirror and take a look in it.
Yeah. But anyway, there was some other news. Crackdown 3 finally gets a release date. February 15th.
It moves up a week. It's originally coming out the death week.
So it's now 1 week before Death Week. So
buy us before you buy everything else.
Yeah. So you get a week to play this before you play Anthem.
I almost wonder if they're banking on people just saying, oh, hey, Crackdown's out, I better buy it, and then forgetting that they have all this other stuff to get into the next week.
Yeah.
I think what they're actually banking on is Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, like I have it pre-ordered just because I got into like some Amazon price issue. I think it was like $30, but otherwise I learned from Forza 4, man. I got Game Pass. I'm not giving y'all shit until I play it.
Yeah.
This will be one of those that I pick up just because I, again, I'm getting it dirt cheap. But yeah, I do think this is going to be a Game Pass thing where people are like, fuck it, we're in there. And it'll be one of those things, the sort of stealth way that the original Crackdown got in the first place. Because the original Crackdown is
still demo.
Fucking great. That was one of the most underrated games of that generation.
Yeah, and Crackdown 2 sucked.
Exactly.
Why did they not announce that for BC? And it's like, here, because this is sucks. How bad it used to be.
Right.
We hope our next one is better than that. It's like,
right, yeah. We didn't announce Crackdown 2 because it is fucking terrible.
They also
but this is one of those two, I think it'll be like just fatigued where it's just like, really? I mean, like, okay, it's finally coming out. I mean, I hope it's something sensational. Like, you know, they've definitely delayed it enough. But so here's hoping it turns out to be something great. Because otherwise, they delayed it this long. They delayed it this long, and it still turns out not to be good.
Yeah.
We still really haven't seen much of the gameplay. They just showed multiplayer here.
I'm waiting for that.
It's not fun from what you saw yesterday.
Guys, it's cloud computing, man.
The cloud caused this thing to be delayed 5 years.
And the cloud was.
I actually think they dropped that whole cloud.
No. I read something about it today that it said it's going to still have cloud computing in it. I'll see if I can find it.
I guess just for the multiplayer.
Yeah. It's like they're going to still be using cloud computing for the destruction.
So there's that. Apparently, you should probably download the original.
It's free right now.
Free, baby.
Free for the month.
Yep.
It looks great on the one too. On the 1X, by the way.
Yeah, some nice enhancements for the 1X. And as I said, Andrew's pointing out here that having an Xbox and not having Game Pass is kind of a dumb idea right now.
Especially paying full price because they've had at least 2 6-month deals in the past year.
Friday they're going to be discounted. So
it's discounted right now through.
Oh, it is? Okay.
They're already discounted.
Yeah, for about a month and a half, it's on sale. Yeah.
Yep. And if you're not a member yet for the holiday season, it's $1. For the first month.
Basically, you should let any of your subs run out for Game Pass because they'll usually offer you a deal for at least one more month.
Yeah.
So it's like, you'd be stupid to pay $10 a month.
Yeah, that's one of those things. If it was $5 a month, it was just $60 a year, that's completely sellable to me. But like $120 a year is not.
Yeah.
And
the thing with Game Pass for me so far is the Microsoft games they put out during my sub has been not good. Like, Sea of Thieves didn't do anything for me. It was just a bullying simulator.
Mm-hmm. State of Decay, I bounced off. It really is.
Yeah, if you're playing solo, you're not going to have fun if you run into those
people. You're going to have a bad time.
State of Decay 2, I was like, yep, this is State of Decay. It didn't run well. I bounced right off of it. And Forza Horizon 4, it's like...
Man, if that was the one thing I wish I could have taken back.
Yeah.
That's my regret of the year, man.
Yeah, it's like... It's kind of what 3 was, but they put a lot of shit on here because they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, they were like, well, we got to put a fucking game out.
Yeah, and like, it's making it really easy for me to do the same thing I did with EA Access, which is I pay for this, then I don't buy any of their games because this is way cheaper than buying any of their games.
Right.
Because EA Access
is EA Access that good?
Yeah, it's $30 a year. You get those games fairly quick, like within a few months, 3 or 4 months afterwards. Like, NHL would be available for it probably by the All-Star break or a little bit after that, somewhere around there.
It's too late for me, but...
Yeah, but,
I want to be playing that day one.
Yeah, but for Battlefield 1 or V or stuff I'm not exactly jonesing to play right away because I got so much to do, but it'll be available sometime next year, and it's like, all right, I can jump into that.
Yeah, the other thing is...
I'm not jonesing to play them ever.
The other cool thing about Game Pass, though, is I think it gives you a flat discount on everything else.
Everything that's in Game Pass, at least.
Yeah, and I think they bump it for some games. I think it's like 20%, because I was looking at some of the Shantae games, they knocked like 20% off of those for the ones that were on Game Pass. So
those still have just been on sale.
No.
Like Halloween.
It was part of, at least it was when I looked, because that's what made me buy them, because it was just said Game Pass discount, and it had them from 20 and it had them down to whatever it was. So I think it was $15.99.
And also like the new stuff Microsoft puts doesn't get any discount. It's like at least 90 days, something like that.
Yeah, well, they got to make their money on that somehow.
Yeah,
they're you know, they're kind of treating Game
Pass. They're taking a huge risk in and of itself.
Yeah, this whole show was just a Game Pass ad. They constantly showed ads between segments, and then it's like, hey, here's whatever, like 16 games or whatever they showed.
Right.
I really hate when they announce the Microsoft games for, like, hey, this Ori game is coming out, it's going to be on there. It's like, yeah, it's the thing you said. They're going to be on there on day one. It's not an announcement. Yeah. The first game going on there, that is, because that wasn't on there before. They've kind of slacked on putting their older stuff on there.
Yeah.
So they, I'm at the point where they can just fuck right off until they announce a new Project Gotham.
Yeah.
I really don't have any interest in anything else they have to say.
Yeah. Instead, you're getting PUBG. That's there now.
I already have some.
Yeah.
See, I think I look at it different than you guys. Part of the reason it's good for me in my house is because of my kid. Like, my kid will just download shit. He treats it like Netflix, which is really kind of nice because he asks for games, but it's just like, oh, well, if it's on Game Pass, you know, that's probably gonna be the biggest reason that we'll stick with it, because it's useful. Mm-hmm. So
I think you just gotta get yourself a better ISP.
God. And I can't.
Just don't have a choice.
I can't. That's the best part.
He literally doesn't have a choice.
I don't have a fucking choice. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's not just fun. Nathan got cut off. You can't download anything else this month, son.
Jesus. So we'll just go through these real quick. PUBG added to Game Pass. Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, definitely worth getting. Ori 1 and 2 are on there.
Both of them absolutely worth playing.
Yeah. Thief of Thieves, Season 1. Never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's based on a Skybound series. The Walking Dead guy.
Okay. Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's there, and Supermarket Shriek, among the usual ones that they add every month. So.
Yeah, and there's others they added or announced stuff. They didn't really do any It's Out Now. There's, like, Thief of Thieves was one, and that's about it. I'm looking at the list here for what else they shut off. There's Kingdom 2 Crowns. Yeah. That's very much a game that Teresa's would be excited about. Uh-huh. After Charge, Void Bastards, Pathologic 2. Void Bastards was like the one new game announced, which looked like a rogue. It tried to say it was like, oh, this is a new type of strategy shooter. It's like, it's a roguelike with FTL progression.
Yeah.
it kind of looks like it's doing like a more stylish, like Doom style thing. Original Doom kind of style thing.
Yeah.
There's Secret Neighbor, which is like a multiplayer expansion on the original Hello Neighbor.
And that shit sounds like some porno.
Yeah. They announced The Good Life, which is the new sweary game. The fun thing is that when they put up the graphic for that, it was the wrong game.
Outstanding.
It was an old game called The Good Life. They had nothing to do with this game.
So at least they weren't pretending to give a fuck about the presentation on this show.
Well, it's the second time they tried to bury a sweary game, and they're not publishing this one. They also put Thomas Was Alone on there, MXGP3, Agents of Mayhem, and that Mutant Zero One. Zero Year One, whatever that's called. Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah.
I think those last four are coming later this month. And yeah, there's not much here that was announced as like coming out today. It's just the one Thief of Thieves, I think, is available now.
That's okay. At least you can definitely tell that they're putting actual effort into this. Behind the scenes, I'm sure they're talking to publishers, stuff, trying to get them on board. But it's, you know, it's having to overcome that notion that we have to sell everything at full price. Whereas, you know, that what Microsoft, I think, is going for here is getting some money is better than getting no money.
Yeah.
Right back to what we were talking. You know, at least you're getting something, because otherwise there's not enough of this money to go around, man. You gotta pick those battles.
Yeah, they also announced the new expansion for Forza Horizon 4, which is Fortune Island.
Yeah, it just made me think of all the shitty ass fucking wheel spins I've had.
Yeah. they announced new stuff for Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, show off Void Mode and Devil May Cry 5.
Mm-hmm.
They announced Practice Mode. Yeah, they announced two more characters for Jump Force, which is Super Saiyan God Mode, Super Saiyan Vegeta, and Golden Frieza.
Oh.
Sure.
that sounds fucking dirty, and it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Somebody got the gold Frieza.
Yep. That's just like trailers for other stuff. Oh, yeah, the mouse and keyboard stuff. They announced a couple more games for that. Bomber Crew, Deep Rock Galactic, Strange Brigade, Vermintide 2, War Thunder, Exmorph Defense. Also getting
mostly the free-to-play stuff, I'm noting.
Yeah. DayZ, Children of Morta, Minion Master, Moonlighter, Vigor, Warface, and Wargroove. They also released a special...
A lot of war on that list.
Yeah, you got to use your keyboard for war. They also announced the new mouse and keyboard set from Razer. It's going to have the lighting stuff in it.
Of course.
So it matches with the game, I guess. I assume that'll be like a $200 keyboard set.
Probably.
That stuff is always expensive.
But can it survive a grand finals of whatever event you happen to be using it at?
We'll find out.
Ask the real questions.
They're going to formally introduce it in January at CES. No. That's still ways off.
It'll die there.
Yeah.
It'll die during the demonstration.
Yeah. And the only other real surprise is Winter of Arcade, they announced. They're finally doing a promotion for indie games. They're going to release that. It's been like 6 or 7 years since the last one.
Well, didn't they just get rid of the entire concept of Xbox Live Arcade?
They could also do it. You don't have to have XBLA to do promotions for that stuff. Just say, hey, here's like 4 good games coming out, you know, in July.
Yeah. But that's where, I'm just saying that's what gets my attention, is that they're actually using the arcade branding.
Yeah. But also arcade doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Those to us, Chris. Fuck, man.
They're just indie games. Just fuck all this stupid gatekeeping bullshit. These are arcade games, and here's the XBL indie games. These ones don't have achievements because they're fucking shitty. We don't care about them.
All I hear coming out of Chris's mouth is no fun allowed.
Just the Xbox Live fucking games, which they finally stopped doing that with the Xbox One. Or they don't have any specific like promotions for these things.
I will get off your lawn, Chris, okay?
Yeah, get off there. It's too much snow.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So on the whole, I mean,
you might actually hear that Below comes out this year, then. They said they're gonna announce that at the Game Awards, so that starts on December 6th.
Well,
Game Awards is on December 6th, so the first game's gonna release that day. Well, that's good promotion, I guess.
Yeah, you can download it right now.
Hey, I hope you have some money left after buying Smash and Just Cause 4 and all these other games.
Yeah, good luck with that. So I guess, you know, if you were there in Mexico City, it probably wouldn't have been a bad show, but from us watching here,
not exactly hype.
It's really hyped up for a show where they kind of didn't really announce much.
Yeah, but I'm sure they had free alcohol, so that was probably good.
Again, I think everyone was probably spectacularly drunk, and that helps everything every time.
They look like sports fans in the background of the guys that are talking about the game at the stadium.
Yep.
Just screaming, like, chanting all that.
It's getting real in here.
We're drunk.
All kinds of beer.
We didn't pay for it.
Yeah, almost like a Bethesda party.
Especially the ones where the trees glitch through the walls.
No, it's just their office.
Yeah. Let's get to the picks of the week, and we'll wrap up the show because we're already about an hour and 40 minutes in. My pick of the week is a Digital Foundry retro video, because I like these guys over at Eurogamer. They do good stuff. They've taken a look at the evolution of Tetris to go along with the release of Tetris Effect. Did a nice, it's about a 40-45 minute video that goes through the whole history thing. Well, not really so much the history and story of it, because that would be like a 3-hour video.
Yeah.
But it basically goes through like the different versions of the game and talks about their mechanics and stuff. And it's a good watch. So if you're interested in Tetris, check that out and see all of its different permutations.
And it's a very good time to be interested in Tetris.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. This pick will not cost you anything. So, go ahead and check it out. How about you, Pat?
Well, fan translators have done it. There are fully English versions of Trails to Zero and Trails of Azure out in the wild,
yep,
derived from the PSP ports. And, you know, I'm obviously not going to link to them in the show notes, but they're not hard to find. And, yeah, for anyone who wants to jump that gap, that is the Crossbell story arc in the Trails series, you now have an option to do so. The story, as I understand it, is that one fan team kind of just did a bare-bones literal translation of the script without any particular nuances coming across a while ago. Mm-hmm. And then another group got together and went through that localization and added all of the Exceed lingo that, you know, they word everything the way Exceed words it in terms of the Trails universe. And so what you have now is two localizations of the games that are basically the way Exceed would have done them.
Hmm.
So,
So people have basically done the work for them, yes, at this point.
they may as well call it the You Snooze, You Lose versions.
Yeah.
But they're out there. People have been doing Let's Plays on them. It's
they'll run on a potato. Just point that out.
Yep. Or anything that will run a PSP emulator anyway.
Yeah.
These are not PC versions.
Yeah. So yeah, good stuff. How about you, Brandon?
He's off downloading Trails to Zero.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm here. Okay. I was looking to say, with Spyro Reignited coming out with Tuesday, my pick of the week is going to be the Spyro franchise, because there's been a whole generation of kids who think Spyro is just something that's part of Skylanders. And now we're getting the actual original Spyro trilogy completely remastered and basically redone with much more advanced graphics, and you know, it just looks amazing. So now you can actually experience Spyro the way he was supposed to be, you know, experienced.
Yeah. I mean, my experience with Spyro 2 was with a the statute of limitations has expired, so my experience was with a copied PlayStation disc that deleted my save when I got to the last boss, so that was awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was their copy protection. So that was a lot of fun getting vicious all the way to the last. Yep. So that was great. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this on Tuesday as well, because it's going to be fun. Even though I can't get it right now, at least I'll have a nice backlog of stuff for the winter when I get around to actually having money. So yeah, how about you, Lee?
For me, it's definitely a jacket. It is cold as fuck here.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the South. What the fuck is going on? It was 32 degrees yesterday. I'm wearing a jacket right now. I've been wearing it the whole fucking podcast. I'm fucking freezing.
It's 57 where I'm at. So
yeah, this is I can't do it. Georgia's got that like bone chilling cold, man, that just doesn't go away.
Well, and, obviously yeah. God is not happy with the way we've been running the governor's election.
Maybe.
Thanks a lot, Brian Kemp. You damned us all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm down for jackets, coats. Also a big fan of beanies since I'm bald.
Yeah.
So keeping the dome warm is what's up. Those are my picks of the week. And don't, right, don't play any games that want to fuck you out of your money. Just don't.
Yeah. And there are a lot of those.
That's a general overarching message of our show.
Yeah.
I also would like to say my pick of the week is biscuits, because they're great.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They're tasty. So, yeah, I guess we'll wrap up the show there. I'd like to remind everybody to subscribe to the...
Missed mine.
Oh, yeah. Chris. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Because I didn't see it here.
It's because I was talking about biscuits.
Oh, there it is.
That is very distracting in a good way.
I want some biscuits right now.
Yeah, there's some pretty good sales going on PSN right now, though. We're starting to get into Black Friday season pretty soon. Probably do a bit of a preview probably, what, 2 weeks from now? No, next week.
It'll be next. Yeah, next week's going
to
have to go.
The election made it so hard to realize that Thanksgiving's a week and a half away.
Dude, this whole year has felt like 5 years in one.
Yeah. Because the election's over, and I'm like, holy shit. Thanksgiving, Black Friday is in 2 weeks. What the hell happened?
Yep.
I guess they're kind of early this year, but yeah, for these, like, there's actually a pretty good Black Friday sale for people that don't have a PS4. It's the base PS4 and Spider-Man for $200.
They got anything for people looking for a PlayStation VR?
I think they're going to be $100 off. So you should be able to get probably the base model, one of the base models for like $200 with a couple games, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because as of last night, I've been looking for a PlayStation VR.
Yeah, I can definitely look that up and double check. But yeah. For the double discount sale they got going on right now, there's some nice stuff here. Yakuza 6 is $30. That's a pretty good one to get if you missed that over the summer. Trying to see what else they have here. They have a bunch of the Assassin's Creed games on sale. Burnout Paradise Remastered is $9 again. That's a real good one. Trying to see what else is here. Are
they still putting Final Fantasy 15 on sale?
It was on sale a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was for something coming out. I forget what it was.
Too soon, Phil.
Yeah, the Danger Zone 2 is $10.
Hmm.
Along with the other Danger games. Dangerous Golf and Danger Zone 1. Galaxy is $4.
Ooh.
That's a real nice cheap game right there. Nex Machina, I think, is $8. That's a good one to get. $8 if you're into Gone Home. This is Space Gone Home. Yakuza Zero is $16. But that's not a huge discount off of the new PlayStation Hits version. Yeah, that game says 20 normally. But yeah, there's some nice stuff there. Yeah, I'm trying to look up this this Black Friday PSVR thing for you. Yeah, $200 for the Astrobot Moss bundle at Walmart. That one's a pretty good one. You get two really good games. And that'll,
the headset.
That's all you need for Tetris Effect, is the headset.
Yeah, all I need is a core set, really, because I already have Tetris.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they're actually doing, like, just headset-only bundles at this point.
Yeah, I think they're kind of just bundling stuff in them. So to give you some good
something
games.
To do with them.
Anything that comes with Polybius?
Nope.
I don't think so.
That's not big enough game for a bundle. Yeah, that game's still not even out on PC yet. He said it's ready to go, but he has to. He's waiting for what Tempest. He's waiting for Tempest to come out.
Oh,
yeah.
That eventually happened. That got weirdly delayed with no explanation for anything. As is the case with Jeff Minter games. It's like either it comes out or it just disappears for a while.
Yeah, and then
nothing's ever that simple.
Yeah.
No fucks given.
Yeah. I'll say fuck snow.
I'm with you, dog.
I'd like to remind everybody that you can subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at smashpad.com where we have our written content. I just posted my review of Grip Combat Racing up there if you want to go over and have that as a read. It's all right. So, for Patrick Mifflin, Brandon Perkins, Crystal OG, Lee Lamb, and the now absent Dan Reb Victorio, we'll see you next week.